Will you turn with me then to the portion I indicated, Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 21. There are four benedictions, blessings, that are given to us here, and we come to the second of them in verse 21. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. As we take time to read that text, maybe even with other texts we can say the same thing. It's so plain, we understand what it says. Or again, maybe at the other end of the extreme, we read a text and it's so closed in its meaning and it's too specific in its application that it's got nothing to say to us today, here and now. Or again, we understand what it says and we can quite freely switch off because we're not going to be told anything new. When we read this text here this morning, we may well slip into one of these thinking modes. We might say, well, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Well, that's talking about a Christian experience, and it's talking about a Christian. It applies only to them. It's nothing to say for the rest of us. Therefore, we can just simply sit and wait until it's all over. Nothing could be further from the truth. This text identifies one of the deepest feelings that are found in society today. This text, I would venture to suggest to you, has something to say to the vast numbers that we read of increasingly in our society, and we see them round about this door of this very building last night. The vast number of people who go out on a binge on a Saturday night. I believe that this text has something to say to them, as well as to ourselves. Because this text is addressing a great want, a great need in every one of us. The search is on in every life. The search is on to find peace, rest, contentment. Something to remove the anxiety. Something to fill the emptiness we all feel. And we try so many different ways to fill that emptiness. Experiments are conducted every day in different laboratories. That's one way of looking at the high street. That's one way of looking at all the different establishments along the high street. To look upon them as laboratories. And every night, people conduct experiments in them. The experiment, they're looking for this rest and this peace in themselves. But the result of these experiments is always the same. There's no result. There's no satisfaction. It needs to be repeated time and time and time again. It needs to be repeated with different ingredients, underneath different conditions, in different places. There's always this quest, this longing to find something to fill their lives. Life goes on chasing shadows. Life goes on chasing what is so elusive. It's like trying to nail smoke to the wall. That's what this is speaking about. And it's addressing every one of us and our society today. Let me summarize what this text is speaking about. It's speaking about a deep longing. It's promising lasting happiness. And it's promising it immediately. That's our text set up in different words. So let's take it then, part by part, and listen to what God is saying to us and the whole of society and its relevance to every one of us today. First of all, it's speaking about a deep longing. We cannot miss that. We certainly don't mistake it. Blessed are ye that hunger now. This deep longing is expressed underneath the figure and in terms that we can all recognize. Hungering, or with Matthew's reference, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Without food, we can survive a matter of weeks. Without water, we can only survive a matter of days. So when it's speaking about hungering and thirsting, it is speaking about a deep and an intense, painful and lasting need. Hunger is not something which comes and goes, whether we're awake or asleep or out or about or in the house. It's quite obvious when we talk about this image of hungering. It's not a passing feeling. It's not a passing emotion. It remains and it hurts until it is satisfied. There's a growing gnawing away inside us. No matter where we go, we cannot find relief or respite. We find an emptiness. There's something vital that's missing. And we feel deeply that emptiness within. Recognize ourselves. There is Jodo. There's A.N. Other. This is the man in the street. Today. Here we're describing ourselves. A longing, a hungering, an emptiness. Or again, there's another way in which we can understand these words, hungering and particular hungering and thirsting. I want to put it into the context of a job interview. In a job interview, sometimes you're told when you're preparing for that interview, when you're coming to interview somebody, you look, well, is this person hungry for the job? That's the phrase that's used. Is somebody hungry for that position? Simply, it means, how much do they want that position? Is there a deep longing for it? Do they think about it? Do they even dream about it? Is it constantly in their minds? Do they go over and over and over what they need to do to get it? And if they get it, what will they do when they're in that position? Hungry for the job, for the position. That's another way of understanding our text this morning. There's a perfect illustration of this. We've been singing about it already in Psalm 42. The deer that is longing to find the water brooks. I remember an illustration a long time ago. It was of the Bedouin people out in the desert. And if they wanted to find water, what they got was they captured an animal, a monkey or something, I can't remember what it was, but they caught an animal. And they gave the animal just a pellet or a pill of salt. And by doing that, it created the thirst. And the thirst immediately drove the animal to go searching for the water. And they followed the animal and they found the water for themselves. Somebody who's got a thirst and a longing for water. That's the deer that is spoken of in Psalm 42. And it's what is set before us here this morning. That man. We are reminded here of what every man is like. We are reminded here constantly, and it's good that we are reminded. You and me. We are reminded here of an aspect of our spiritual life. An aspect of our characters that is so often forgotten today. We are spiritual beings. And as we neglect that side of our character, so life is less than complete and less than satisfying. We can try to live and eke out our existence doing this, going there, having that. But if we limit ourselves only to these areas, we will always miss out. Because there's something about you and me and everyone round about us that marks us out as different. We are different from the rest of God's creation. We have the capacity for right and wrong. We have the capacity to know God. We have a capacity to be satisfied and pleased, to be at rest with God. That's the very peak of our existence and our creation. To know God. Now just hold on to that thought for a moment. Don't dismiss it from your mind. Hold on to it until we get to the end of the sermon. And we put this blessing side by side with it. Because what we've got to say is this, that sin has come in and has spoiled God's works. Creation we speak of, especially on a day like yesterday or last night, creation has a great beauty about it. But creation was so much better before sin entered the garden. Before sin spoilt God's work. It affects every one of us. The way we think. The way we understand. The way we feel. The way we choose. Sin affects the very way that we live. We want to get as far away from God as possible. Think of the well-known story about the prodigal son who, having cashed in all of his goods and collected everything from his father, immediately went on a journey to a far and distant land to get as far away from home life and influence as possible. We want to get away from God. We try to smother. We try every whisper that comes to us to stifle it stone dead. Any kind of indication of God's marks upon us, we try every distraction, soaking ourselves in all of our schemes and all of our plans with a twofold purpose. We want to shut the door tight on everything about God. And we want to indulge our own thoughts and our own dreams. That's what happened last night. Indulging our own thoughts, our own dreams. Conducting this experiment. Looking for satisfaction to fill this emptiness that's in us. This, what I've been describing as the spiritual side of our character. We feel that there's a void, there's something missing. And we're going looking for it to fit the place and the spot. And no matter how we try things, we cannot hit the spot. It's as if we think we know best for ourselves. As if we know what we're needing and what we're looking for. And it doesn't work. And sometimes we find that God breaks through that closed door. God speaks above the din and the noise of what we try to fill and flood our life with. God confronts us when we try to shut him out and exclude him from life. Perhaps at a time of illness, or time when death comes close by us or to someone else. Perhaps it's a sermon that we've forgotten about years ago, a sermon that comes knocking at the door of your soul. When the things of eternity break through the shell that we've put around our lives, God comes visiting to you or to me. Now let's just pause there to apply that to ourselves. Does this explain something of our experience? Thoughts spring to our mind of our soul, spring to our mind about eternity, of meeting God. We think again of the way we live and where we're heading. And we're not ready for it. We're uncomfortable with ourselves. God may well be giving us a wake-up call. While we still have time, while we still have opportunity, let us put matters right, seeking the Lord while he is found. A longing. That's what this verse and text is speaking about. Something that's there inside us. God has made us for himself, and we find no rest until we find him. But we go and try every alternative under the sun to fill our lives. But we've got to go a little bit further yet still, to get to the deep longing that this text speaks about. So let's go further down that same road. When God breaks into your soul and into your thinking, when God starts to show us our true selves, we begin to appreciate the extent of the spiritual mess that we're in. We begin to appreciate the problem, the scale of it. It's not a little molehill. It's not even Ben Nevis. It's not even the Eiger. It's like the size of Mount Everest. We need a Savior. And we cannot save ourselves. That's something that comes into our minds. That's something we hear in every sermon. That's something which perhaps every one of us here, regularly listening to the gospel, we all can say we know it. But there's a difference in all the world between knowing it and feeling it. We cannot save ourselves, and we need a Savior. And so often the Lord, in his patience and in his grace, leads us into that conviction. And he takes us out on the far side of it in trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to rely upon Jesus as our Savior, there is created in the soul of the believer a deep, deep longing to be right with God. And only Jesus Christ can do it for us. And when we come to trust him, when we know him for ourselves, when we know him in that personal capacity as the Lord is my shepherd, my Savior, there's the start of a tremendous process First of all, of satisfaction. But then, the more we taste, we're only stimulated to know more yet again. And when that longing is satisfied, and we're satisfied once more, it again creates a higher, deeper longing for yet more of the Lord. And we're going up a spiral staircase. More and more of our Lord do we want. The more peaceful and the more restful our soul is and receives from Christ, there is then created a longing to know more of Him. This is the Christian's experience now. And we can use that as a test of where we are on the spiritual scale. So let me ask the simple question of the last 5 minutes. Can you understand what I was speaking about? If it's a strange experience to you, then let me repeat what I said 6 minutes ago. Seek the Lord, that He might teach you of yourself and of Jesus Christ, His Son. Because it's only by knowing Jesus Christ and trusting in Him that we will be ready and that we will be comfortable with ourselves in life and in death. A deep longing. Well, a longing and a deep longing. That's what we've looked at, two things already this morning. But this text speaks about something else. It speaks not only about hunger, but it speaks about blessing or blessedness, makarios. We can easily remember the Greek word there. Perhaps a better translation of it, not just simply be blessed, but something we can recognize, happy is the man. Happy are ye that hunger. It sounds a contradiction in terms. But that's what God says. The man is truly happy who is spiritually hungry. This text, especially that word, happiness, speaks loudly to us all. And this is where it ties in with what went on last night and is repeated in every establishment throughout our land. Everybody wants this happiness. We are living in a society where pleasure mania is the name of the game. It's the quest that everybody engages in life today. The goal, the object we want. We want to be happy. So much is channeled to that end. So much is directed to that aim. But it's not found. I wonder why. When you read the text, we're given a simple, obvious answer. We're not listening to what God is saying to us in this text. We're going after the wrong things. We're chasing happiness. We've got a great commitment of time, of effort, and of money, but that happiness is always eluding us. Why? Because we've put happiness in the place of righteousness. And because we've done that, we'll never get it. We're not told to chase happiness. Happiness is the result of seeking something else. So what are we told here? We are told happiness is the result of longing for righteousness. We need to shift our sights. What we need is to be right with God. An illustration. Somebody's in hospital. They're in great pain. Today, there is a tremendous application to pain management. And pain management now is a great skill and a great blessing in our health service. But is that really needed? Pain management. Surely we understand that pain tells us there's something wrong. Go after what's wrong, not the relief of the pain. There is a disease there. And if we only go after the pain and engage in pain management, then we're creating a false, even a fatal atmosphere. We're switching off the red warning lights. But the danger hasn't gone away. Our relationship with God is at the center of our living and affects every department, level, and area of life. If we're not right with God, then all of these other areas will be out of kilter too. Everything else is spoiled and marred and touched. We will always be restless. We'll always be touchy. We'll always be uncomfortable. We've therefore got to address the problem. What is it that separates us from God? It is sin, and that needs to be dealt with. To get back into a good relationship with God we once had. And the only way it can happen is through the transactions which took place at Calvary. The sinner's guilt is taken from the sinner and is laid against Jesus Christ, the Savior. He takes all the consequences. He deals with and undertakes all the fallout. He pays the very last drop. Conversely, that perfection of obedience which Jesus Christ obtained, that God looks for in us, it is taken from the reputation and character of Jesus and is laid against the name and character of every one of his people. That is the vital exchange that took place at Calvary. A great exchange. Do we have an interest in it? Have we felt the benefit of it? Because it has amazing results that are right up to date, up the street of what we're talking about here this morning. Let me give you just one simple passage to remember. Romans chapter 5 and the very first verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, that is what we're talking about, seeking righteousness. Therefore, being justified by faith, what do we got? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The very thing that people are out on the street looking for. The very thing that is missing from inside the life of countless millions. The very thing that, were we to be honest with ourselves today, is missing from us. We don't have peace with ourselves. Here is the spiritual solution for the deepest and the most personal of problems of our day. Blessing. Happiness. It's not obtained in a direct assault. It's not obtained by going out after it immediately. We try it and we'll be like chasing the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. We'll never get it. But what the Bible tells us is, go after something else. Fix your focus on something much more important and vital. How to be right with God. And here we are told, that when that is true about our lives, when we are trusting in Jesus Christ, then that which we've looked for in all the different places for years is true about us. We have peace with God. So we've come through most of the text. Let's take the last phrase and thought out of it. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. There is there the immediate realization. There is there the immediate experience. It's at once bestowed and experienced. Let me ask a question, or hang a thought rather, on your own experiences. Whenever you get a gift, the way you assess that gift is in different ways. Sometimes the person that gives it to you, or the cost in making it or getting it. Sometimes it's a gift for a real deep need inside you. Sometimes, sad to say, it's the old-fashioned hankies. And we've got enough and a drawer full already at home. You see, the need sometimes dictates the way we look at a gift. And Psalm 68 speaks about Jesus Christ. He's obtained the best gift of all. Psalm 68 speaks about the way in which he has risen on high. We'll sing it tonight when we continue the same theme in our meditation then. But here the psalmist is speaking about freedom from those who are in darkness, those who are slaves, those who are in sin. And Jesus Christ gives that gift the moment we lean upon him. The moment we trust the destiny of our souls to him, into his hands, we receive the fullness of a table spread with rich food. Forgiveness, rest, peace. We know that he is our God and our Father, and his commitment to our good and well-being. We shall be filled. That's what this is saying. Not just simply half measures or even 95% up to the top. What we're told here is we are filled right to the full capacity. That's the blessing which God bestows. People say to be a Christian, you're living a shadow life. To be a Christian, you're living simply on hopes and things that are yet to be. You're living a shallow experience. Quite the reverse. It is the Christian that has got a fullness, a depth, because the Christian knows what God has given in Jesus Christ, pardon and forgiveness. That's what's missing in them, but not in us. Because this is the happiness that only the Christian has, given by Jesus, addressing the longing we've got and filling it to the point of overflowing. What we've chased through all the years of our life but never reached. What we've looked for but never found. Here it's spoken of by our God. This gospel, this message, what we're saying here this morning isn't to be restricted to the 20, 30 of us here this morning. A little gathering in church. This is what's needed by our society today. Happiness. If you were to ask people, what would they want? If you ask them, how are they going to get happiness? Many people, possibly, especially after last night, would say, oh, if I could win the lottery. Think of that woman in Spain. 77 million pounds. As if that will change your circumstances and bring us happiness. Remember what God tells us. A man's life does not consist of the things that he has. You cannot buy inner rest and peace. Paul tells Timothy, contentment is a rare commodity, a great gain amongst us. And what is that contentment? Godliness with that contentment. The very message that so many out there and ourselves are looking for. Happiness, contentment, rest. That's the gift from Jesus Christ the Lord when we come to trust in Him, when we are right with Him. Happy, our text tells us this morning, happy are they who hunger after righteousness, who have the right target in life, for they are the ones who will be filled. People can be filled, oh yes, they're full. That's a way of describing them last night. But they're empty this morning. But the Christian who knows Jesus Christ is the one who is permanently going on to know more and more and more of that fullness which is Jesus Christ, the Savior. May we know Him and this happiness He bestows. Let us pray. O gracious Lord and God, this gospel message given to us in privilege once again this morning, it is a great message. Our souls delight in it. We love it. And we pray, Lord, that we may be able to share of it and speak of it to others. And we pray, Lord, that as we try to spread the seed further and further out from our boundaries and infect other lives with this, Lord, we pray that the blessing and the work and operation of Thy Spirit would be upon it, that it take root and it would grow, and that there would be a great ingathering of lost sheep and souls to the Savior, the Shepherd, who is Jesus Christ the Lord. O Lord, we look to Thee, that in Thy grace and in Thy power, Thou wouldst do these things for us. For we ask them in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We close then by singing from Psalm 107, which takes up some of the themes we've been thinking of this morning. Praise God, for He is good, for still His mercies lasting be. Let God's redeemed say so, whom He from the enemy's hand did free, and gathered them out of the lands from north, south, east, and west. They strayed in deserts pathless way, no city found to rest, for thirst and hunger in them faints their soul. When straits them press, they cry unto the Lord, and He them frees from their distress. Them also in a way to walk that right is He did guide, that they might to a city go wherein they might abide. Oh, that men to the Lord would give praise for His goodness then, and for His works of wonder done unto the sons of men.